Good day. Jack Palvino, station manager of WHIC, with Doug Mandalera, director of communications and everything else for the Diocese of Rochester, and welcome to Rochester Diocesan Roundtable. We're delighted to have some special guests with us today. The program, as you know, is on the air every first weekend of the month, Saturday and Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock, with a hope that it'll give you a little insight as to what's going on in the diocese. Doug, I have to tell you, I did receive an email that I've got to read to you.
Please do.
This was a project that a young priest set out to do down in Texas. And it was a story of what kids would ask God if they had the chance.
I'd be interested in that. But
here's a few of the announcements, okay? Dear God, and they had to write this out, and they had to post them, okay? Instead of letting people die and having to make new ones, why don't you just keep the ones you got now?
I like that.
Right?
Not a bad idea.
Not bad, right? Dear God, I went to this wedding, and they kissed right in church. Is that okay? Me. Dear
That's
God,
wonderful.
Is that good stuff? Kids are great.
They're wonderful.
I think that strapples are one of your greatest staples, is what she's
staples.
Trying to say. But she's made it strapples. Is one of your greatest inventions, Ruthie. Dear God, in Bible times, did they really talk that funny? Jennifer. Dear God, I think about you sometimes, even when I'm not praying. Elliot. Dear God, I am American. What are you? Robert.
Now, that's an interesting question.
Isn't that an interesting question? And the last one, we'll read some more in our next show, but these are funny. Thank you for the baby brother. But what I prayed for was a puppy, Joyce.
Excellent.
Some letters to God from the kids out of the mouths of babes. We are going to have some fun at the program today, Doug, and I would like you to introduce our guests today, and perhaps we can be helpful in clearing up some misconceptions as to what's going on in our diocese regarding vocations and how the facts really are.
Well, actually, I'm pleased to introduce, and I hope I don't miss, he said his name five times for me. I'm sure I'll mispronounce it, Peter van Lieshout.
That's right.
And Greg Rupik.
Yeah, that's it.
They are our discerners, and it's an interesting distinction. The first year in the program, one discerns, and then after they're formally accepted into the program, they become seminarians, and we send them off to school.
Now, a discerner is at what level? Is it after high school, before college, or could it be anything?
It really is, depending on when the men approach us. It can be at any particular age. I mean, these two just happen to be, I assume you're both in your 20s, aren't you?
Yeah, we are.
And but, you know, they're, a discerner could also be 30.
Okay.
So it isn't necessarily an age function. It's just kind of the until one pretty much is committed to the program, and they go through all the proper screenings and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It takes about a year. They live at Beckett Hall,
mm-hmm.
Which is our facility for discernment. These two are doing very well, and we're very pleased. And they're good men, and we'd like to interview them today.
It would be a delight. Where is Beckett Hall physically, so our listeners know?
I'll let Peter, where is
Peter,
Beckett Hall?
Sure. Where do you live?
Beckett Hall is on the corner of Lexington and Stenson in the city. It was the old rectory.
Precious
Most
Blood.
Most Precious.
My daughter
Blood
was married there.
Ah, there we go.
Yes.
Father Sebastian.
Mm.
He was there many years, drove the school bus.
He's a legend.
He is a legend. Oh, what a guy. A quick aside.
Sure.
All right. When I was a young man, my grandmother lived in that neighborhood. And when we went to church at Precious Blood, you had to sit through what Father perceived as English plus the Italian sermon. So you had a double sermon, and you couldn't understand either one.
That's good.
I remember it well.
That's great.
So I know where you live. You're over at Precious Blood. It's mm-hmm. great. And how many of you are there?
Just the two of us.
Just the two of
right
us?
Here.
Just the two of us, yeah.
The previous year, we had five.
Mm-hmm.
And they all went on. They're all in seminary. They're scattered all over the place in Washington, in Rome, I believe in Belgium.
Mm-hmm. Chicago.
Chicago. And this year we have two. So we later on in the program we'll be talking to Father Tim Horan, who has just been the keystone of our vocational efforts with Carol Dady. And they've been doing some wonderful, marvelous things to draw men to this. And all of our priests have been involved throughout the diocese, trying to talk up the priesthood and share their life experiences, just what a joyous life it can be. And I'd be interested to hear from these two gentlemen what drew them and where they are in their lives and along this wonderful journey.
I'd like to hear about that. Tell us about how you got into this.
How we got here in the first place.
How did you get here? What brings you?
the whole discernment story? Is that what we want to hear today?
Well, it's only a half hour show.
Right, okay. The elevator speech then.
Right.
So, well, I'm Greg, by the way. I went to college in Toronto, St. Michael's College.
St. Michael's.
Mm-hmm, in the University of Toronto. And that's basically where I really started to do the discerning. I really started to think about priesthood as a possibility. Originally, it was just kind of a thought in the back of my mind. When I was at school, I started, taking my faith a little bit more seriously, took a few classes that really started to get me thinking, got very involved in chaplaincy there. And then I actually started discerning with the Basilian Fathers up there at St. Mike's. Mm-hmm. And then after I talked to them for a little while, it took a summer. But after that, I started to think, you know what, maybe I'm actually being called to my home diocese in Rochester. And that's when I contacted Father Tim and Carol, and I started, talking to them. And for those 2 years, I was involved in, all the retreats that they do here, 24 hours with the Lord retreat, some Fisher dinners. So lots of the programs that they offer here as far as vocations go. And, that's where I started off. And here I am now after graduating, I, kind of finished up all the paperwork and headed this way. So.
And where were you brought up in Rochester?
I was actually, south of the Rochester proper. I grew up in Elmira and Horseheads, yeah. So that's my home.
Ah, interesting. An old friend of mine, Larry White's from down in Horseheads, New York, used to be an announcer.
Greg, what's your home parish?
St. Mary, our Mother in Horseheads, yeah.
Beautiful church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful church.
I'm familiar with the, I went to Aquinas and St. John Fisher in the first class, and the Basilians grew up with them.
Right, right.
And just wonderful. Yeah. Goodness, discipline, and knowledge. That's hammered it into my head. 8 years. It took a while. Was there any one event that, I don't mean a bolt of lightning or anything that corny, but any time that you were walking down a path maybe and you said, I'd really like to give this a roll?
Well, I think probably actually one of the, at least after one of the vocation retreats that I went to in Toronto with the Basilians, we were talking about priesthood and just what they were talking about, the life that you're called to live, the way that you can live that dedication to Christ and in that specific way. And when they started talking about it, service to others, teaching about all these kinds of things, I started thinking, you know what, that's exactly what I'm, what I've always been looking for, this kind of lifestyle. And after one of those retreats, I can't remember which one, but after one of those retreats, I really said, I sat down in my room and I said, I think I'm supposed to be a priest. And for me, that was this kind of epiphany moment where when I really took it seriously and said, maybe this is seriously what I'm being called to. And that just kind of, shattered the world that I was in at that point. And I started looking towards that very seriously from that point on. So.
How old were you?
About 20.
Yeah. How about you? Same situation?
Yeah, no, it's interesting. When you talk about vocations, because it's always, and in some sense there's, everyone's got their own story. And in some sense there's, similarities between all the stories. And so for me, back in high school, I was not thinking about priesthood at all. It was just not on the radar. I wanted to get married, and that was that. You mentioned one moment in particular where, maybe you had sort of the epiphany moment. I'm not sure this was it at all, but because again, like I said, in high school I just wasn't thinking about it. But I was at World Youth Day in Toronto in 2002, and the Holy Father Pope John Paul II was there, and this was during his homily at the Mass on Sunday. And I remember it was right after the scandals had broke, and he was, you know, saying, you know, the, sort of the shame and the hard times. He was pointing out that the American Catholic Church was going through, but he was also saying, look at all the amazing priests and religious whose only desire is to do good and to serve. And then he mentioned just briefly, you know, and if any of you, you know, feel in the depths of your heart, something like that, you know, the call to priesthood or a consecrated life, like, do not be afraid to follow Christ on along that road. And, I, you know, it's been a while, but I just remember something about that being like, uh-oh, that kind of moment. But then again, you know, I just sort of dismissed it, I think, at the time. Then I, you know, I went away to college. I went to the Franciscan University of Steubenville, in Ohio. And again, when I was there, I was dating a girl from high school, and we went to separate colleges, but we were still together. And, I thought, oh, this is, you know, I'm heading down this direction. I think this is where I'm supposed to go towards marriage again. And about halfway through, college, I think, you know, there's just started to be a new attraction there to the priesthood that just wasn't there before. I started, you know, sort of almost daydreaming about, like, doing the works of a priest, saying Mass, hearing confessions, things like that. And, you know, when you start doing that, you know, you got some something to talk about.
Right.
And at that time, I was put in touch with Father Tim Horan, who I think we'll meet later. And, you know, just with those kind of conversations, and again, as Greg mentioned, the events in the diocese, like the 24 Hours with the Lord retreat, other dinners that they've had for us, sort of was brought down this road. Here I am.
Well, based on the background that you two have given us, I think we better send more and more people to Toronto.
Yeah. It's a nice city, too.
You know, I love Toronto. It's one of my favorite cities.
I'm interested, and I think the listeners would be interested. How does one discern? What are you doing this year? How does one, what is a typical week or a day like, and so what are some of the special things you do?
Sure.
Well, I think a good model is actually kind of the Benedictine model, the idea of work, prayer, and study, because that's basically what we're doing. I mean, we wake up every morning, we pray morning prayer together, and we pray evening prayer and night prayer together as well as a community. And then what we do is we do a lot of a little bit of studying at St. John Fisher. We take a few classes there. And we're also very involved work-wise with parishes in the area. We're just getting our feet wet in pastoral work and the life of the life of a priest, I guess, getting a feel for what it is to work in a parish, to live in a parish, to get to know people in a parish and things like that. So all those things together really kind of coalesce into a good idea of whether or not God is in fact calling us to be priests. Because, you know, keeping in mind, you know, private prayer time and all those kinds of things, when you can look at all these different aspects that we've been able that we're able to experience this year, and really get a good feel for whether we think that we're where we are supposed to be, and, you know, whether we think where God wants us to be. So
interesting.
The other thing about Beckett Hall is I think it gives guys the opportunity to see the diocese and for the diocese to see you. So, you know, I've met a lot of the priests and a lot of the people of the diocese, and seeing, you know, some of the parishes, just sort of get a feel for things there, and also the community life at Beckett, the things, you know, just chores around the house and things like that, and the brotherhood that we experience.
Do you go around to various parishes and do like an internship, if you will, or do you just visit them to see
do? We're both assigned to a particular parish where we're doing our pastoral work, so to speak.
Okay. And separate parishes?
Yes.
Okay. And what do you do when you get there? Anything they want you to?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Do you do windows?
You know, I'm I go to all the masses on Sundays. Sort of fill in if somebody doesn't show up or something.
Right.
I also help out with the parish's faith formation program and with their youth group.
Right. Yeah. And what about you?
Well, I met Margaret Mary's in Irondequoit.
Oh yeah.
And my my role is, I've basically the same situation. I mean, I'm just helping out any way that I can. Primarily, though, I've been very involved with the Diocese Spirit Alive campaign, so I've kind of taken that as my main role there, and I've been organizing retreats and things like that for the parish and getting to meet a lot of great people that way as well. But I also help out on Sundays with the masses and in just liturgical ministry as well, and do some communion calls and things like that. So
over with Father Peter Baer and Father Tom Ertl.